In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, why are you here today? Why have you come to Holy Mass on this day, the 25th of December, to assist at the sacrament of the altar on the Feast of Christmas? No doubt most of you here are moved by an authentic faith and true sentiments of piety and love of the infant in the manger, the divine boy born of the ever-Virgin Mary in a humble stable surrounded by farm animals. Perhaps some of you are here out of guilt, the once or twice a year visit to church, which keeps you holding on by a tattered shred, often a sentimental one, to a faith which you have, for practical purposes, almost totally abandoned. Well, once a year, better than nothing, I suppose. It could be the joyful carols and the sense of family. In a sense, in a world filled with broken families and bitter pasts. For others, perhaps it's the light in the creche that emanates from behind the infant Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. At a time of year and a moment in history that has become so very dark and so very sad. If happiness is not to be found around us now, there was at least this one evening of love and joy 2 millennia ago, in which a poor couple was able to forget their sorrows and bask in the love of their newborn child. Many and varied are the reasons which can propel a person to carry out an act of religion, be it a visit to church, a prayer, or some good work. But I submit to you that there is one in all of us, more or less present in each of our hearts, that we do not acknowledge sufficiently. Though he didn't have to, God came to us. He looked down upon a world which had made clear its preference for sin, a world which he knew would one day arrest his son, spit in his face, cover him with insults and injuries, and finally crucify him. And he still said, I'm going to try to help them anyway. I'm going to give them my only begotten Son, whom I love perfectly and who loves me perfectly. And I am going to allow them to kill him, because his death will be their redemption. It will save them from their sins. I suspect, therefore, that there is something in this unfathomable mercy of God, this condescension and indulgence which fears no bitterness in return, that is drawing us to him. In cold hearts, this relentless pursuit of God finds and heats whatever remaining embers it can of our charity, no matter how small, how weak, how few they may be. It is these embers which God is calling us today, on this 25th of December, to excite within ourselves, if we are to have any hope of the joy that lasts forever. It is with reason, then, that Christmas turns our attention to the shepherds of Bethlehem. For when on that blessed night the angels appeared to them and said, "For this day is born unto you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord in the city of David." These men, sinners though they were, did not fail to appreciate the gift of God's visitation, nor did they shy away from it out of a misplaced shame over past sins. No, they went instead confidently to God to adore his only begotten Son, who had taken flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. Once they entered the stable where the newborn Lord was found, the condition of their hearts was something I doubt we can fully understand. They believed in him instantly and without hesitation. They simply adored the divine child laying before them, the heavenly aura of God's holiness surrounding him. These humble men let their hearts be warmed by the fact that Almighty God had humbled himself, that we who constantly exalt ourselves would learn from him. Already as an infant, the Christ child had enemies. Herod plotted to bring about his death. The synagogue would one day rage against him and demand his execution. The scribes and the doctors of the law would conspire against him and ultimately kill him. But there is one thing they would not succeed in extinguishing: the simple faith of those who received him on the day of his birth in Bethlehem. Their faith would one day make its way into the hearts of the wise ones of this world, so that many of them would come to possess the simple faith of the shepherds. Many have, and many will bow down the acute power of their reason and their intelligence before the simplicity of the crib and the cross. And how is this transformation worked in their hearts? It is that Christ has been born in their hearts. This faith, as you know, is totally supernatural. It is infused into our souls by God in the moment of baptism. It is not something we can create on our own. And we've received it so that we would persevere to eternal life. And doing so requires us to be watchful, to be vigilant against the enemy. For we know that the evil one seeks constantly through subterfuge, hoping to go unnoticed, to draw us back into sin. Remember then that the shepherds were graced with this visit of the angels because they were keeping watch. They were awake. They remained awake and full of care for their flocks. Those of us who have care over your souls, dear faithful, I can assure you we intend to do the exact same thing. We intend to cooperate with God's grace in the hope of dying more and more to ourselves and resembling Christ more and more perfectly. We intend to continue teaching the true faith handed down from the apostles, not some system of ideas subject to change and considered more adapted to modern man. And we will continue to strive to sanctify our souls and yours through the offering of the sacred liturgy in the exact same form in which we have always offered it, come what may. So on this most beautiful feast of Christmas, therefore, let us respond as fervently as we can to the gift of God who came to us on that blessed night in Bethlehem, the gift of his visitation, for he's still coming to us. Indeed, as often as we open our hearts to him, and in his coming lies all our hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.